And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, as we dive into the second chapter of Romans, starting with the first verse, Paul appears to be responding to his previous writings in chapter 1. He appears to be saying that in the third person, in light of all that's been said, these individuals who I just defined, they're just the most terrible people ever. But the irony lies in Paul's assertion that we commit some of the same actions as these people. Ooh. He implies that we're just as culpable as they are. This applies to us as well, representing our BC state, which stands for before Christ. Next, in a complete shift of tone, Paul asks, don't you realize how tolerant, patient, gracious, kind, and merciful God is with you? He explains that God's tolerance, patience, grace, kindness, and mercy are evident in the time he gives us to repent. God doesn't owe us this time. He grants it because he's awesome, kind, gracious, giving, and merciful, and full of love. And finally, God will judge all people using his own righteousness as the standard. The conviction will come when people realize they've committed a few good deeds and a multitude of bad ones, taking into account their thoughts, words, and actions. Eternal life will be granted to those who persist in doing what is right, seeking the glory, honor, and immortality that comes solely from God through Jesus Christ. But that is for those who seek him.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Wow, more? Yeah. Here's the thing. Remember, this is the big thing about it. It's not professional radio. In fact, I'll ask Jacob. It's not professional radio, Jacob. What is it?
It's just radio.
It's just radio! That's what you got to remember. Great job there, by the way. Here's the thing. What do you think? It's cool. What do you think? What do you got going on? Hey, send me an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. I don't care if you're in San Diego or if you're in Denver or if you're in Dallas or Detroit. Send me an email. Text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. What? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But when you make that call, please be ready, because you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. So let me just ask you this, because I haven't had a chance to see my wife because she's been working. This is 10, 12-hour shifts now, and she's got one tomorrow, too. And then that's why I'm not going to be here on Friday. Friday, fantastic top 10 replay. Dave not here. Just telling everybody. But what was your one, Jacob, your one favorite Super Bowl food that you had?
Oh, pizza.
Pizza!
Sure.
Yeah. It's
always a go-to.
I mean, yeah. It's how do you lose with pizza, right?
Right.
Pizza! That's a good call, my friend. That's a good call. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, hey, if you want to reach out to us, you can do it. You can call us. Yeah, that's the 972-445-0770. You can text us, 214-210-8483. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, and it can be about whatever. It can be about something the Lord's working on in your life. You're just sharing it. Maybe it's just something you observed, something the Lord kind of revealed to you, made it kind of clear, hey, this. This is kind of fascinating. What do you think? Maybe you've got something you want to share. The Lord has blessed you in such a way. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Always good to share a praise report. Gives honor to God, strengthens you, blesses others. Always good, to share a prayer request. Why would that be good? Because it unites us. Don't you understand? That's part of the unity element, is that it shows functionality of our unity for brothers and sisters in Christ. We laugh together. We cry together. That's part of the process, right? What did Jesus say in John 13, 34, and 35? Love one another as I have loved you. By this all men shall know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. And then he puts on that caveat, love one another the way I've loved you. When you talk about loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself, it's awesome and it's cool, but loving each other the way that Jesus loved us is even more powerful. That's why Jesus said it's a new commandment. Get it? Oh, I do. There you go. So if you got something you want to share, awesome. You got something going on, great. You want to hear some history? We're going to do history. We're going to do a joke. Jacob might not like it because it's a longer joke, and he likes the shorter ones, but he's going to have to give a little way in this one. We'll get to that later on.
Plus, I'll give it a chance.
You're also going to do Bible trivia. On this trivia, you must listen to my hint. It may help you enormously. You'll understand. What was the name of Noah's father? Was it Ethaniel, Lamech, or Jabel? But let me do this again. Remember, here's your hint. It kind of sounds a little Jewish. Is it Ethaniel? Is it Lamech? Or Jabel? Which one of those three, Genesis 5, 28 and 29? Genesis 5, 28 and 29 is your reference point. Was it Nathaniel? Was it Lamech? Or Jabel? Okay, right? Which one sounds a little more Jewish than the other one? You have to know. You have to know that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We'll do our DNA because we need to do DNA. I need DNA. You need DNA. We need it. Here's our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with a guy in the sky. It doesn't matter. Nobody's giving you a time frame. I'm not saying you should spend this amount of time. I'm not even telling you when. I do it in the mornings, but then some people have to do it in the evenings. I have no problem with that. As many weird dreams as I have, I should probably do it more in the evening and then have less weird stuff going on in my brain. That part's okay, but as long as you're spending time with the Lord. And that's you and him. You talking to him, him talking to you. Get it? Okay. That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never. Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Well, what's the Word, Dave? The Word is Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. We actually have some revised numbers. 785,000 words in the King James. 730,000 in the NIV and 755,000 in the ESV. What? 13,000 verses, just to let you know, between the two. Okay. I'm just helping everybody. No, it's 31,000 verses. Sorry, wrong number. I had it backwards. That is the Word. Never be ashamed of the Word. And then A, so we did D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, and this is important because this is the thing that connects us. Always be ready.
To serve.
Which means that we are on guard. You ever watch one of those movies, the Three Musketeer movies, right? And the guy goes, on guard. And he's got his little sword and everybody's like, right? What does on guard mean? He's like, swords up, right? That's kind of what it means. Swords up, right? Hey, guess what? We have to have in our mind, minds up. Ready to serve. Oh, that's a good one. Minds up. Ready to serve. You don't just slump. You are aware. You're ready to serve. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. N. Always be ready to serve. A. There you go. All right, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Roger again.
Hello, Brother Roger again. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome, brother. Are you ready for this trivia? Are you ready for this?
I am. I'm looking right at the verse.
Okay, there you go. So let me set it up, and after I read it to you, then you tell everybody what it is. That's a pretty funny answer. All right. What was the name of Noah's father? Was it Ethaniel, Lamech, or Jabel?
It was Lamech.
Lamech! You're right, sir! That's too funny, huh?
Yeah, I always cheat.
Well, that's not cheating. That's why I give the reference. You know what happens when you look it up? It reinforces it, so it's like you will not. Somebody says it, you'll go, it's Lamech. I already know that. And it's Lamech, according to that spoon guy. There you go.
I'm supposed to have 1/10 Jew in me. It was there's a West Velt. I don't know if that's Jewish or not. Okay. It's a German.
Yeah.
German Jew.
German, that's right. That's exactly right. There you go. So that could either be Ashkenazi or Sephardic, but we'll talk about that another time because people are like going, what? 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 just keep moving on.
But, I just wanted to, I don't know. I usually talk on Thursday, but I just wanted to talk today because it was my day off was Monday, and I just enjoyed the show so immensely yesterday that I just wanted to let you know that I enjoyed it tremendously on my day off. So maybe I'll start listening on my day off.
Ah, that's nice of you. Thank you so much. I'm not even going to pay you for that, but that was a very nice compliment. I appreciate that.
You're not going to pay me?
No.
Oh, dog.
Nope. You see that? See that? That, Roger, again, that's Jewish right there. See, that's how that works.
Right.
Thank you for that
anyway,
compliment. That's very nice.
Yeah, well, I know that the Jewish people that I knew and my relatives, they were all rich. So.
Yeah, I came from a family similar.
I didn't get that part.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to go the other way, but you know, there is definitely a grace on the people that God has chosen. There's no question about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, we definitely need to pray for the state of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
We definitely need to do it. I think we're commanded to.
Yep. Yep.
Pray for them, and. I do. I pray for them on a daily basis. I try to keep up with what's going on there, because if you keep up with what's going on there, you'll know the timetable. Well, just smell the coffee. You know it's getting closer. The timetable's getting closer. At least you're one day closer, anyway.
Yeah, no, that's right. In fact, that's a good point. So one of the things that I read in Ezekiel today is that God purposely placed Israel where he did so that they'd be in the middle of other nations. And it's like, that is
right.
Exactly what's going on even right this moment. It's like
right. Amazing,
but God did that on purpose. And so there's purpose and there's plan to all of it, and you're right. We should be praying on a regular basis for the peace of Jerusalem. That is spelled out specifically in Scripture. That is correct.
Okay, and now you already prayed for our friend with the finances. I need to add my name to that, and I need to also add a prayer for my wife because she's struggling with some heart palpitations.
Okay, all right, let's do it. So, let's pray about it right now. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Thank you for my brother, Roger. He's a blessing, Lord. And I just want you to communicate to him our appreciation for him, Lord. We appreciate him as a brother. And, Lord, he's got two things that are right before him. One, with his wife, that is in your hands, Lord. We need you to touch her body by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that to happen through the name of Jesus. We have faith. Yeah. We entrust you for it and ask that you would help her heart and that it would be as smooth, everything would be smooth and it would not be an issue so that that fear and that uncomfortableness, that anxiety could be removed. And Lord, for Roger and for so many of us that are struggling in the financial realm, we just ask for your favor. We ask for your grace. Instead of us stressing out, help us to proclaim or praise it out so that at least we can be in a position that says we have confidence in the faithfulness of God and not operate in fear. Help us in that, Lord. Multiply that which we have. Bring about even new bounty, we pray. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Yeah, and I'd like to add checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, and debts paid off.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen, brother. God bless you, bro. Thank you, man.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, great call from Roger, who's also Roger again, but when I'm praying for him, I'm not going to tell God Roger again too often, just every once in a while because I think it's funny. We will take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jonathan and David were closely knit, and David made a commitment to Jonathan, and Jonathan said, I want you to make sure you're not going to take any kind of wrath or any kind of vengeance on my kids, on my family, on my people, and David made that commitment. What I want you to get in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, is that Mephibosheth is an offspring of Jonathan, and he was crippled, or he was lame. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't, you know, function properly. He was at a tremendous disadvantage. And I remember when the preacher in North Phoenix Baptist Church looked at his audience, and just to give you an idea how big this church was, the auditorium seated like about 5,000, so it's like huge, right? And he looks around at everybody, and then he says this. He said, "You are Mephibosheth." And I was thinking, what? What? And he goes, "You," and you know, I'm thinking in my mind, but he's preaching, and was he just one of the best preachers? "You are Mephibosheth. You are lame and unable to walk without help."
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
welcome back. to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. What did King Darius do with the men who accused Daniel? What did he do with the men that accused Daniel? Did he hang them, cast them into the furnace, or cast them into the lion's den? Now, your reference point is Daniel 6, 24, and 25. What did King Darius do with the men who accused Daniel? Did he hang them? Did he cast them into the furnace? Or did he cast them into the lion's den? You are able to reach us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. So what did King Darius do with the men who accused Daniel? Your reference point again, Daniel chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. Should not be difficult to locate unless you can't access a Bible, and then it might be a little more difficult to locate. All right, do we have somebody on the line? Do they want to answer the trivia question? Yes, they do. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is somebody from the moon.
Somebody from the moon?
Right now the time is 2:21.
It's 2:21 on the moon? This is the only person I know on the moon has got to be my little brother. All right, my friend, here we go. Let me lay out the trivia question. Let me answer, give all the answers, and then you can respond. Here we go. What did King Darius do with the men who accused Daniel? Did he hang them, cast them into the furnace, or cast them into the lion's den?
Well, it reminds me of my Sunday school lesson, Daniel and the lion. They throw him in the lion's den.
That is correct, Amundo! I think it's funny that you're laughing when you're telling you that, because you're probably thinking about when you did learn it in Sunday school, thinking, wow, that stuff did come in handy. Wow. Oh, that's hilarious. How are you, bro?
Good.
Good, good, good.
Hey, I want to share with you regarding Super Bowl something.
Okay.
Do you know why this 49er didn't got the Super Bowl glory?
why they didn't get Super Bowl glory? Because they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they didn't win.
No.
Okay.
Because the usher wasn't too good enough to usher them to the Super Bowl glory because the Chiefs were too swift.
Oh boy. I don't know. I'm gonna let Jacob respond to that. Let's see. The usher didn't bring them in because the Chiefs were too swift. What do you think about that, Jacob?
You know, it was creative. I'll give him that.
You think he originated that, or somebody told him that? That's the question.
I'm not sure.
No, I did it.
We'll go with he. I came up with that.
All right, we'll give you props
because
you came up with that.
Because I'm calling from the moon, man.
Very
Come on,
good,
man. Yeah,
I had a feeling the moon was Central Standard Time.
That's good. All I have to say is the biggest loser in that game was the commercials. That's all I'm going to say. They were boring. They're just not funny anymore. They used to be hilarious. Now they're like, meh, meh. It's all right.
I heard the people in 20s or mid-20s, they didn't get that Kennedy ad, whatever was that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I know, and everybody, it was either, and then it was woke this, and dumb this, and dumb this. All I can say is I just thought the only commercial I even liked was the Popeyes one because I like wings. So that worked out for me. So. All right, good joke, brother. Good share.
Okay.
What's going on?
Serious note.
Okay, what do you
How's your grandson? I was praying for him this morning.
So Julianne and Jared took a vacation, a secret vacation, which is I encourage my kids to do stuff like this on a regular basis as not to tell everybody everything and telegraph everything that they're doing, in the sense that go away by yourselves. And they did go on a small vacation to, let's just say, destination undisclosed. And they sent a picture, and they just had such a marvelous time. And you can just see, you can tell that Easton, though he doesn't fully get it, he loves that family interaction and getting out of the house and being in different places. So I was just really blessed to see that. But they still need lots of prayer. They still, you know, they don't know, they have no idea on how things are going, but they're taking everything as a gift from the Lord and enjoying every moment that's set before them. That's what they're doing.
Good. Well, we're going to keep praying for them and for you too.
I appreciate that, brother. I really do appreciate it. I really do mean it. I want everybody to be praying for them, for my son. I've been praying lately for my son Joshua to hear the voice of God. He's drawing closer and closer to the Lord. Now I want him to hear, you know what I'm saying? To really have that thing, that the experience where God speaks to you in a rhema capacity and it just changes your life. So I'm looking for
that. Amen. I agree with that.
So be praying for that as well. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, God bless you, brother.
You too, bro. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So fun call, right? I mean, it's just fun. It's kind of stuff. All right. So we're going to get into Romans, and I'm just going to tell you right now, because we're getting into chapter 2. Don't be thinking, oh, everything they talk about in this show is always cheery. Well... You don't listen to the show very often. We are very cheery because we're redeemed, but you still have to be confronted with where we were prior and so on and so forth. So let me just pick up a little of it, but then the next segment's going to lights out crazy, excellent stuff. But Romans chapter 2, verse 1, so we'll do it for a few minutes. It says this: you may be saying, what terrible people you've been talking about. Now, this is Paul making reference to chapter 1. And these people who were rebellious, remember these people who were rebellious? You remember the different listings that we had? They're full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They're backsteppers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. There's a lot of bad stuff there. So Paul, in chapter 2, goes, you may be saying, what terrible people you've been talking about. But then he says this: you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they're wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself, for you do some of these very same things. Now, well, you're thinking, no way. Really? You've never gossiped? You've never had malicious behavior? Never operated in deception, ever? You've never had wickedness? You've never had sin? Oh, see, now that just brings it all back down. And he says, when you're condemning yourself when you do the same things. Verse 2, we know that God in his justice will punish anybody who does such things. Do you think that God will judge and condemn others for doing them but not judge you? See what he's saying? He's saying is, look, it's true that God will address sin in everybody. But God does not unaddress sin for some people and just address sin for other people. It's not quite how that works. The Lord may eternally forgive you, but he will still challenge you and I when we do things. And for us, for Christians, I want to say this and get in a lot of trouble for it, but I kind of don't care because I'm just in that mood. Our level of sin is just as bad as any level of sin. Ours just has to do a lot more with pertaining to our connection to the Lord than it does with trying to be connected to the world. In other words, God has given all of us such grace, such favor, such kindness, such mercy. We're going to get into that in the next verse. But some of us, we operate as though God has never done a thing for us. And we operate in this fear, which is an insult to God. And we operate in this lack of faith, which is something Jesus rebuked the disciples for multiple times. He wasn't going, oh, I'm so happy you guys have no faith. He was not happy with that. And we need to recognize, hey, we're condemning others because they're sinners, but sometimes we're functioning in some of that sin ourselves. It might be at a different stretch, at a different level, but it's sin nonetheless. We don't believe God. Do you think that's righteous behavior? When we don't trust him? Is that the behavior of the faithful believer? No. So we need to be aware of that and careful, because anything contrary to God is contrary to God. Get that? All right. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Or Bake, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this: against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment. God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about, so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Sometimes hallelujah. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I find that ironic that Phil had to do with a Romans teaching and had to do with Julianne. And then little brother calls up and asks about Julianne, and then we close that out with a little bit of a Romans teaching. Ha ha! Those are the little things that I just seem to enjoy quite a bit. Here, by the way, is your next trivia question. We'll give you the trivia question, then we're going to go up to the website. Here's your trivia question. Think about this real carefully. It's not hard, but you got to think about it. What overshadowed Jonah's head? Was it a tree, a tent, or a plant? Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. What overshadowed Jonah's head at the end? Was it a tree, a tent, or a plant? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What overshadowed Jonah's head? A tree, a tent, or a plant? Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. Ooh, in the meantime, meantime, I'm going to send you up to the website. What's on the website? Cool stuff. That's my answer. Cool stuff's on the web. There is cool stuff up there. Not only is there articles, and not only is there videos and audios, there's interviews, there's old sermons, there's information if you want to hand out, or if you want to just get a couple of brochures, we'll send them to you free. You just keep them with you. If you think somebody would like it, you give it to them. If not, not. You don't. Whatever. Bumper stickers. There's a place to put information for if you've got a prayer request or a praise report. If you've got an event that's really important, we'll put it up on the calendar. We haven't been staying really faithful on that because I've been super, super busy, so that's kind of my fault. So I take full responsibility for that. But there's so much stuff on there. Plus, there's a place to give, and giving is good because it keeps us on the air. That's all. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right, we're not in Kansas anymore. Right now, if you're in Kansas City, you're probably pretty happy. I'm just saying. See, for me, it was the chocolate or the barbecue. See, that made it very tough for me. All right, so we're going to do a joke, then we're going to get into our teaching. Your trivia question is straightforward. What overshadowed Jonah's head? Was it a tree, a tent, or a plant? Jonah chapter 4, verse 6 is where you would get that specific answer. In the meantime, we've got a joke. It's about two paragraphs, so we have to really massage this in for our friend Jacob so that he can hear the whole thing before he gives his response.
All right, I'm listening.
Now, this is a little bit dedicated to Joanne. Okay? Just going to leave that right there. And to Cordelia, but I mean to Joanne Primer. Here we go. Betty was looking for a new RN position. And she was unhappy with her current job. She was certain she'd have no trouble finding a new position due to the extent of the nursing shortage in her area. She emailed cover letters to dozens of potential employers and attached her resume to each one. 3 weeks later, Betty was wondering why she'd not received even one request for an interview. Finally, she received a message from a prospective employer that gave the answer to the dilemma. It read, "Your resume was not attached as stated. I do, however, want to thank you for your wonderful fettuccine Alfredo recipe."
Yay!
That's pretty good, right? She forgot to put the resume in. She gave her a little recipe for fettuccine. That's not bad. This is why I don't do comedy for a living.
Maybe the recipe was so good and got hired anyway.
I'm just moving on right now. What overshadowed Jonah's head? A tree, a tent, or a plant? Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. That is where you got to go back to the text we go in. See, what I love about Romans is it tells you the good, the bad, the good, the bad, the good, the bad. It's really, until you get into chapter 8, and, you know, 8, even 8's full of good, but then 9, 10 have a few minutes, 11, up and down, then 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 are all lights out fantastic. But this next verse is so fantastic. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. You should personalize this because it should be personalized. Here's what it says. Don't you realize how kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see how kind he's been in giving you time to repent from your sins? So in most of the text, and I would prefer in the other text, and I tell you when I read a text and I think, it's not, you know, it's not the worst, it's not the best. But in most of the texts, it says it a little differently, and I'm going to read to you from the New King James, which I think does a pretty marvelous job, I'm going to say, on that. It says this: or do you despise the riches of God's goodness, the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Here's the thing that the passage is trying to communicate. It's not that the other version's bad. I just prefer the other one. It's that God is kind and tolerant and patient. with you and with me. I do dumb things all day long. Don't tell me I don't do dumb things. I know I do. Oh, they can't be that bad. Yes, they can. And they are. And it's even worse when you know better kind of attitude, right? It's like, ooh, that's even worse. But we don't often remember how kind God is. We tend to forget the kindness that comes from God. He's not up there trying to whip you. If he wanted to whip you, can I just say this? If he wanted to take a whip and nail you, or if he wanted to take a hammer and smash your head, he would. You'd know it. But he's kind. And he's not just kind. It's like he's kind. He's also tolerant. It's like, what do you mean tolerant? Well, he's not going to let you get away with sin, but he's not going to erase you from existence because you're struggling. If you bring it to him, if you surrender to him, if you're yielded to him. And he's so patient with us. Is he not patient? It's like, you're like, why am I going through this trial again? I've gone through this 100 times. The reason is because you didn't get it the first 99. That's why. But he's patient, just keeps processing it through. And so the passage he's really keying in on is, don't you understand that God giving you time to repent is his kindness? That God giving you time to repent is his tolerance? That God giving you and I time to repent is his patience? Now, a lot of us are like, yeah, but BC, you know, I understand. I understand that, especially from a position theological point of view, that 1, 2, and 3 of Romans has much to do with the salvation process of recognizing their sin. Everybody is involved in it. Nobody escapes it, but there's redemption through Jesus Christ. That is 1, 2, and 3. But don't tell me there's not a personal application saying that God, even for your own life right now, has been very patient with you. Very tolerant, very kind, and has given you plenty of space for you to go, I'm sorry. He's given you plenty of space for you to go, I need to get my mind synced with your mind. I need to get my heart synced with your heart. And the fact that you get that space, and I get that space, and any human being gets that space, is a manifestation of how patient God is. He's giving us the opportunity to turn from our stubbornness. I'm not stubborn, and I'm standing with that statement. See, that's the same thing as saying, I want patience, and I want it now. Yeah, see, that's the problem. And so in his kindness, oh, I just love his kindness. I love that God is kind. One of my prayers, so I do different attributes when I'm praying different days. And one of my attributes, Wednesday's attributes, are the kindness of God. Because it's the kindness of God that enables me to be his kid. And we need to realize it. We need to process it. God is kind to you. If he wasn't, you wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be spending eternity with him. Wow. Right? All right. To the trivia question, what overshadowed Jonah's head? Was it a tree? Was it a tent? Or was it a plant? And the answer is, it was a plant. Da-da-da-da. Or a vine. Da-da-da-da. Or something like that. Da-da-da-da. It wasn't a tent and it wasn't a tree. How about that? All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, If that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our last trivia question. Don't forget, on Friday, we're going to be doing a top 10 replay. What? Because David is taking some time off so he can see his wife, Noelle, and remember what she looks like. Ha, 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 ha. Anyway, she can't hear this now because she's so busy. She's not listening to the show, so I can kind of get away with a lot of it. Here's your last trivia question. Why did God put man in the Garden of Eden? Was it to punish him? Was it to cultivate and guard the garden? Or was it to open up the first fruit stand? Why did God put man in the garden? Was it to punish him, to cultivate and guard the garden, or to open up the first fruit stand? Your reference is going to be Genesis 2:15. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Why did God put man in the Garden of Eden, according to Genesis 2:15? Was it to punish him, to cultivate and guard the garden, or to open up the first fruit stand? That is your question. In the meantime, we're going to do history.
Let's go live it in the past.
All right, here you go. Today is National Cheddar Day. There you go. That's about right.
It's a good one.
That's not a bad one, right? It's World Radio Day, so we like that because we've had people listen in different countries who think that's cool. This is a secret thing that the wife and I like that we don't tell people about often, but it's National Crab Rangoon Day, and we love Crab Rangoon, especially with the hot mustard and the sweet and sour sauce. We like that. So, sorry. That's not.
So eat that with cheddar cheese and listen to the radio.
Yes, that's all three. And then for dessert, you can have this because it's National Tortellini Day. There you go. I mean, that's a
there
lot
you
of
go.
Food.
Add that in to celebrate the day.
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten, and now I'm really hungry. On this day, it's also known from 1971, Bad Golf Ball Day. Bad golf ball. Bad. Vice President Spiro T. Agnew hit three spectators with golf balls during the Bob Hope Desert Classic. On the first drive, he sliced, hitting a man and his wife with the same ball. After apologizing, he hit the next shot into the gallery, striking a woman in the ankle. Bad golf ball. Bad. Right? Okay.
So eat all those foods, listen to the radio, and then while playing golf.
While playing golf, and hit some people while you're doing it. All right. Finally, in the year 2000 was the last Peanuts comic strip that was listed. Always sad because that was just a wonderful thing, and no, Peppermint Patty was not what they say she was. So we'll just move on from there since Bill Keen and Charles Schurz, all both very devoted, committed Christians. Okay? Okay. In fact, Schurz had a wonderful comic strip, a Christian little book of comics, and on it, and I've always remembered this, he did this preacher cartoon, and the preacher's like, "Lord, I want a sign. I need a sign." So the next scene, it says, "I'm just asking for a sign, anything will do." And then in the third screen, you see lightning and then smoke, and then the fourth screen, he's holding a 55-mile-an-hour speed sign, and he goes, "I guess this is supposed to help."
That's pretty good.
That's funny. That's funny. Come on. All right. Okay. Back to the trivia question. Why did God put man in the Garden of Eden? Was it to punish him? That's number one. Number two, to cultivate and guard the garden. Or number three, to open up a fruit stand, the first one of its kind. There are your questions. If you think you know, reach out to us. 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org, and I can say that faster, but I will not. Let's go back to the text. Here we go. So just after we talked about Paul saying this wonderful thing about, don't you realize how tolerant and patient and kind God is with you? Can't you see how kind he is in giving you time to turn from your sin? Now we pick it up at verse 5, but before we do, somebody's calling. So we want to give him a chance to answer that trivia question because that's important. But we do want people to understand he's got a response to that because people, you know, say one thing sometimes and do another. So let's see if somebody wants to answer the trivia question. Is it a yes or a no? They do want to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you doing okay today?
I'm doing lots better today, except I still am 2 days away from seeing my wife again. Hello. So I'm surviving till Thursday, and on Friday I'm taking the day off. So I'll just let you know what's going on.
Awesome. Like,
yep, got to do that. That's it. All right, let me set it up for you. You can hit it out of the park. Why did God put man in the Garden of Eden? Was it to punish him, to cultivate and guard the garden, or to open up a fruit stand, the first of its kind?
That would be to cultivate the garden.
That is correct, Amundo! To cultivate and watch over it. That would be the way that we would phrase it. That's where the guarding it part comes in. Excellent job. I just feel in my heart you knew that immediately.
Okay, thank you, and y'all have a good afternoon.
All right, God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Always great to hear from Deborah. All right, let me get into this text. We only got about 3 minutes, but listen to what he says. So he says, okay, don't you realize how kind and tolerant God is? He says this in verse 5, but no, you won't listen. You're storing up terrible punishment for yourself because of your stubbornness, refusing to turn from sin. Remember, that's what people do when they get caught in sin. They refuse to turn. For there's going to come a day of judgment when God, the just judge, will judge the whole world and will judge all people according to what they've done. He will give eternal life to those who persist in doing what is good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. Ding, 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 ding. Seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. Well, where does God offer honor, immortality, and glory? Where's the offering of that? That's in Jesus Christ. That's where it is. God offers us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And there are people that are going to go, well, I'm not going to live my life seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God's offering. And in that decision to do so, they will not be granted eternal life. They will be judged on their works, and they will find out this horrible thing, and that is they have very few good works and very many bad works, especially when it comes to the evaluation of people's thoughts, words, and actions. God will judge people using his own righteousness as the standard. And that conviction will come when people realize they've committed too few good and too many bad. Eternal life is granted, not earned, granted to those who persist in doing what is right, seeking the glory, honor, and immortality that comes solely from God, and that comes through Jesus Christ. The people that do that will not be judged for eternity on their works. They will be judged based on the reward system for their works. See the difference there? If you're going to reject God's offer, you're going to get judged for the good or bad you've done. You're not getting in. Because at a minimum, the best of us is at 300,000 plus sins. That's right, when you count words, thoughts, and actions. The best. Not getting in. But when you are evaluated based on pursuing God's offer of redemption through Jesus Christ, eternal life is no longer the issue since the righteousness of Jesus Christ is thrust upon you. But you will be evaluated by what kind of crowns you're going to wear and what kind of homes you're going to live in. That's an entirely different system. But everybody is going to be judged. That is the way it goes from the just judge of the universe. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.